The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Tuesday. Super Tuesday. 6th day of November, 2018. Let me not wish your life away. Election results. I guess we can garner those when they come in, but it looks like the blue wave is going to crest over the red wave. That's what it's least is being reported on the gubernatorial side of things. So we will see how that goes. And yes, on yesterday's program, I wanted to cover this. I wanted to cover this because I reported on this before we got out of here yesterday. Remember me mentioning Maryland's new red flag protective order that they can come and get your guns? Well, here's a little bit more from gotslaves.info. Two Anne Arundel County police officers serving one of Maryland's new red flag protective orders to remove guns from a house killed a Ferndale man after he refused to give up his gun, and a struggle ensued early Monday morning. The subject of the protective order, Gary J. Willis, 60, answered his door in the 100 block of Linwood Avenue at 5:17 a.m. Yeah, we got to do this under the cover of darkness. With a gun in his hand, oh my God. Anne Arundel County police said he initially put the gun down next to the door, but became irate when the officers began to serve him with the order, opened the door, and picked up the gun again. A fight ensued over the gun, said Sergeant Jacqueline Davis, a police spokeswoman. One of the police officers struggled to take the gun from Willis, and during the struggle, the gun fired, but it didn't strike anybody. At that point, the other officer fatally shot Willis. Didn't even bother to tase him. Neither officer was injured. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And neither of their names were released. Davis said, she did not know whether anyone else was in the house at the time, and she didn't know who had sought the protective order against Willis. The red flag protective orders are officially known as emergency risk protection orders and may be sought by family members, police, or others to temporarily prohibit people's access to firearms when they show signs that they are a danger to themselves or others. The law took effect October 1. Spokeswoman for the Maryland Judiciary denied a request to see any and all requests for protection orders made at the residence of the Linwood Avenue, citing the law which states that anything related to an order is confidential unless the court rules otherwise. Police had come to the house Sunday night. Yeah, I like the way the story's written. No, Sunday night. No, it wasn't Sunday night. It was after 5 a.m. Sunday morning. with a longtime resident of the neighborhood, said Michelle Willis, who was on the scene Monday morning and identified herself as his niece. She attributed that visit by police to family being family, but declined to elaborate. So, here's people unqualified to make mental assessments. So what they're going to do is just go grab your firearms because you may be a dangerous person. Or you might have a family member that's pissed off at you. Or you might have the police just doing it arbitrarily just to screw with somebody. Whatever the case, this is not due process. If you're unfit by current law to have weapons, then there's a procedure for that. But just to come and steal the property, this is going to cause a lot of problems. If I was answering my door at 5:17 in the morning, there's knocks on my door, I'm going to go to the door with a handgun in my hand as well. But evidently, the guy wasn't unreasonable. The police said, we need to talk to you, and he put the gun down. But then when they whipped out the old protective order and the confiscation of his weapons, that's when he grabbed his gun again. And I could just about imagine how that conversation went. It's Orwellville, folks. It's Orwellville. Gee, you don't hear too much. I guess the election kind of wiped the caravans that are forming and coming to America. You'll see some stories that'll say that the caravans are busting up. Others are saying that other caravans are forming. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, yeah. Well, if the idea was to maybe interrupt the midterm elections, they missed their mark. And I've been listening to the prattlings of people that do not understand what a secure country is. And I've heard their rationale. And I've heard their reasonings. And it's just, though, the poor and the downtrodden. You know, okay, you know that big green thing that looks kind of mannish that's got that torch in the air? I think it's in New York Harbor. Yeah, Ellis Island. Go there. Make application. You know, stay 12 miles off of our shores. we might run bag lunches out to you. Maybe not. You know, what folks have been warning about, and there's ample evidence that there's a mixture of people, criminals. Most of the people in these caravans just want to bust the gates, come over here and get a job. Yeah, it's for economic reasons. It's not a reason to come in this country, break the gates down, and invade. Just isn't. And this is part and parcel of the program here for the balkanization, folks. As if we're not balkanized enough. We'll see. Mike, do you have that? How long is it? That's it? Yes, I want the full one. That's fine. We have time. We can run it. This is JFK's speech. Give me the background on it because it's not in front of my face. The background on it? You know, it just occurred to me, and I'd said this before about Kavanaugh and his dealings with the Bush White House creating the National Defense Authorization Act. You know that little thing that can just come and snatch you anytime that they want? You have no trial, you have nothing. You know, that's, I do believe this was the smokescreen of this Ford, Blasey Ford, a lion actor, CIA asset that she is. And that was the whole purpose of the Democrats and the Republicans, the way they acted. because neither the Democrats or the Republicans want the police state measures that are already in place to go away. And Lindsey Graham is, he's going for Grassley's House Judiciary Chairmanship. Whoa. Folks, hang on to your hats, because now we're going to have the judiciary and the Supreme Court pretty much backing any illegal, unconstitutional, unethical, unconscionable stuff that you can imagine. JFK's comment on the secret societies, statement against the New World Order. This famous quote and speech finally found the full unedited written transcript and the audio of his speech. He was actually talking about current events of the Cold War and how non-traditional enemies were gaining information on how the U.S. was battling this war. But that's what the American newspaper publishers had to say about this. And it wasn't about secret societies and the country's ability to keep secrets, okay, intelligence agencies, whatnot. Make up your own mind who this man was talking about. Here was the guy that went after the Federal Reserve, and that's what got him killed. Go ahead and run it.
Remarks of the President to the American Newspaper Publishers Association, Waldorf Astoria Hotel, New York City, April 27, 1961.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate very much your generous invitation to be here tonight. You bear heavy responsibilities these days, and an article I read some time ago reminded me of how particularly heavily the burdens of present-day events bear upon your profession. You may remember that in 1851, the New York Herald Tribune, under the sponsorship and publishing of Horace Greeley, employed as its London correspondent an obscure journalist by the name of Karl Marx. We are told that foreign correspondent Marx, stone broke, and with a family ill and undernourished, constantly appealed to Greeley and managing editor Charles Dana for an increase in his munificent salary of $5 per installment, a salary which he and Ingalls ungratefully labeled as the lousiest petty bourgeois cheating. But when all his financial appeals were refused, Marx looked around for other means of livelihood and fame, eventually terminating his relationship with the Tribune and devoting his talents full-time to the cause that would bequeath to the world the seeds of Leninism, Stalinism, revolution, and the Cold War. If only this capitalistic New York newspaper had... treated him more kindly. If only Marx had remained a foreign correspondent, history might have been different. And I hope all publishers will bear this lesson in mind the next time they receive a poverty-stricken appeal from a small increase in the expense account from an obscure newspaper man. I have selected as the title of my remarks tonight, The President and the Press. Some may suggest that this would be more naturally worded, The President versus the Press, but those are not my sentiments tonight. It is true, however, that when a well-known diplomat from another country demanded recently that our State Department repudiate certain newspaper attacks on his colleague, it was unnecessary for us to reply that this administration was not responsible for the press, for the press had already made it clear that it was not responsible for this administration. Nevertheless, my purpose here tonight is not to deliver the usual assault on the so-called one-party press. On the contrary, in recent months, I have rarely heard any complaints about political bias in the press, except from a few Republicans. Nor is it my purpose tonight to discuss or defend the televising of presidential press conferences. I think it is highly beneficial to have some 20 million Americans regularly sit in on these conferences to observe, if I may say so, the incisive, the intelligent, and the courteous qualities displayed by your Washington correspondents. Nor, finally, are these remarks intended to examine the proper degree of privacy which the press should allow to any president and his family. If, in the last few months, your White House reporters and photographers have been attending church services with regularity, that has surely done them no harm. On the other hand, I realize that your staff and wire service photographers may be complaining that they do not enjoy the same green privileges, the local golf courses, which they once did. It is true that my predecessor did not object, as I do, to pictures of one's golfing skill in action. But neither, on the other hand, did he ever been a Secret Service man. My topic tonight is a more sober one, of concern to publishers as well as editors. I want to talk about our common responsibilities in the face of a common danger. The events of recent weeks may have helped to illuminate that challenge for some, but the dimensions of its threat have loomed large on the horizon for many years. Whatever our hopes may be for the future, for reducing this threat or living with it, there is no escaping either the gravity or the totality of its challenge to our survival and to our security. A challenge that confronts us in unaccustomed ways in every sphere of human activity. This deadly challenge imposes upon our society two requirements of direct concern, both to the press and to the president. Two requirements that may seem almost contradictory in tone, but which must be reconciled and fulfilled if we are to meet this national peril. I refer first to the need for far greater public information, and second, to the need for far greater official secrecy. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. But I do ask... every publisher, every editor, and every newsman in the nation to re-examine his own standards and to recognize the nature of our country's peril. In time of war, the government and the press have customarily joined in an effort based largely on self-discipline to prevent unauthorized disclosures to the enemy. In times of clear and present danger, the courts have held that even the privileged rights of the First Amendment must yield to the public's need for national security. Today, no war has been declared, and however fierce the struggle may be, it may never be declared in the traditional fashion. Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemy are advancing around the globe. The survival of our friends is in danger. And yet no war has been declared. No borders have been crossed by marching troops. No missiles have been fired. If the press is awaiting a declaration of war, before it imposes the self-discipline of combat conditions, then I can only say that no war ever posed a greater threat to our security. If you are awaiting a finding of clear and present danger, then I can only say that the danger has never been more clear and its presence has never been more imminent. It requires a change in outlook, a change in tactics, a change in missions by the government, by the people, by every businessman or labor leader, and by every newspaper. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. It conducts the Cold War in short with a wartime discipline no democracy would ever hope or wish to match. Nevertheless, every democracy recognizes the necessary restraints of national security. And the question remains whether those restraints need to be more strictly observed if we are to oppose this kind of attack as well as outright invasion. For the facts of the matter are that this nation's foes have openly boasted of acquiring through our newspapers information they would otherwise hire agents to acquire through theft, bribery, or espionage. That details of this nation's covert preparations to counter the enemy's covert operations have been available to every newspaper reader, friend and foe alike. That the size, the strength, the location, and the nature of our forces and weapons, and our plans and strategy for their use, have all been pinpointed in the press and other news media to a degree sufficient to satisfy any foreign power, and that in at least one case, the publication of details concerning a secret mechanism whereby satellites were followed required its alteration at the expense of considerable time and money. The newspapers which printed these stories were loyal, patriotic, responsible, and well-meaning. Had we been engaged in open warfare, they undoubtedly would not have published such items. But in the absence of open warfare, they recognized only the tests of journalism and not the tests of national security. And my question tonight is whether additional tests should not now be adopted. That question is for you alone to answer. No public official should answer it for you. No governmental plan should impose its restraints against your will. But I would be failing in my duty to the nation in considering all of the responsibilities that we now bear and all of the means at hand to meet those responsibilities if I did not commend this problem to your attention and urge its thoughtful consideration. On many earlier occasions, I have said, and your newspapers have constantly said, that these are times that appeal to every citizen's sense of sacrifice and self-discipline. They call out to every citizen to weigh his rights and comforts against his obligations to the common good. I cannot now believe that those citizens who serve in the newspaper business consider themselves exempt from that appeal. I have no intention of establishing a new office of war information to govern the flow of news. I am not suggesting any new forms of censorship or new types of security classifications. I have no easy answer to the dilemma that I have posed and would not seek to impose it if I had one. But I am asking the members of the newspaper profession and the industry in this country to re-examine their own responsibilities, to consider the degree and the nature of the present danger, and to heed the duty of self-restraint which that danger imposes upon us all. Every newspaper now asks itself, with respect to every story, is it news? All I suggest is that you add the question, is it in the interest of national security? And I hope that every group in America, unions and businessmen and public officials at every level, will ask the same question of their endeavors and subject their actions to this same exacting test. And should the press of America consider and recommend the voluntary assumption of specific new steps or machinery, I can assure you that we will cooperate wholeheartedly with those recommendations. Perhaps there will be no recommendations. Perhaps there is no answer to the dilemma faced by a free and open society in a cold and secret war. In times of peace, any discussion of this subject and any action that results are both painful and without precedent. But this is a time of peace and peril which knows no precedent in history. It is the unprecedented nature of this challenge that also gives rise to your second obligation, an obligation which I share, and that is our obligation to inform and alert the American people, to make certain that they possess all the facts that they need and understand them as well, the perils, the prospects, the purposes of our program, and the choices that we face. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
U.S.-led coalition bombs Syrian town with banned white phosphorus munitions. State media reported over there. U.S.-led coalition has reported targeted a Syrian town in the province of Diyarbakir with white phosphorus bombs. The forces have been repeatedly accused of deploying banned munitions, yet it denies its involvement. The coalition attacked the town of Hajin in the province of Diyarbakir, while white phosphorus incendiary munitions, which are banned under the Geneva Convention, the SANA news agency reported on Monday. No information on casualties or damage was immediately available. Earlier on Monday, the agency reported another coalition airstrike in the same province, which killed three children in the village of Al-Sharif. It remains unclear which type of munitions were used during that attack. And over the past few months, the U.S.-led alliance has been repeatedly accused of using white phosphorus munitions in the province of Diyarbakir, where it supports the so-called Syrian Democratic Forces, fighting the remnants of ISIS, the Islamic State. In October, the Syrian foreign minister sent a letter to the U.N. Security Council condemning the use of white phosphorus and accusing the U.S.-led coalition of using the so-called scorched earth tactics. Moscow also blamed the forces for using the banned bombs in the town of Izjin back in September, stating that the munitions triggered massive fires in the area. And despite numerous reports of the banned weaponry usage, the coalition has repeatedly denied its involvement. No, we're not doing that. Nothing to see here. Just move along. And funny thing happened on the way to Syria's destruction. The attacks from Israel into Syria have stopped. Russia has delivered 49 units of its sophisticated S-300 long-range surface-to-air missile, the systems to Syria in the wake of the accidental destruction of the Russian 2-20 plane by Syrian air defenses responding to an Israeli attack. Svetlova, who sits on the Israeli's Parliament Defense Committee, has confirmed that Israeli planes had not approached Syria's airspace since Russia supplied it with S-300 missile systems. You know, all the while, stories come out. Yeah, Israel's running airstrikes into Syria, and then Israel will deny it. But it's a non-denial. So here's Israeli's Parliament Defense Committee saying there hasn't been a single mission since Syria received its S-300s. The S-300s have changed the balance of power in the region. The statement confirmed by Al Masdar News Report, citing an unnamed military source in Damascus, saying that the Israeli Air Force, the IAF, hasn't attacked Syria since Russia delivered the S-300 air defense system to the Syrian government forces. The source claimed that the IAF hadn't violated Syria's airspace from either disputed Golan Heights of Lebanon, although it's flown close to the border. Military Insider also denied an anonymous Israeli officer's claim, reported by Reuters, that Tel Aviv had carried out attacks after the downing of the Russian warplane on September 17th. The delivery of 49 units of the S-300s was completed in early October after the Russian Defense Ministry announced that it would supply Syria with air defense systems to improve the security of Russian troops stationed there. The decision was made in the aftermath of the inadvertent destruction of the Russia 2-20 reconnaissance aircraft by Syrian air defenses repelling, it's not the Syrian government air defenses, it's the other one. Yeah. Oh, how liars like to lie. And there's shenanigans going on with the Brexit deal. You know, the one the British people voted for, the one they said that the British people wouldn't because they're so comfortable with the European Union? No, they weren't. And they voted, and the deal was done. Well, after months of squabbling between the different factions of May's Conservative Party, it appears the Prime Minister might finally be close to securing a deal that stands a chance of winning parliamentary approval, thanks to major concession from the European Union. In a report in the Sunday Times, if it's accurate, the story goes on to say, May has assembled a detailed secret Brexit plan, among other details, would kill off the controversial Northern Ireland backstop that had become the main obstacle to further negotiations. Working in secret, May has reportedly developed a detailed 50-page plan for a Brexit treaty that will allow the entire UK to remain within the European Customs Union. That is, until a final deal can be hammered out during the transitionary period. Part of the new secret deal, May has effectively scrapped most of the controversial 4-page Chequers plan and replaced most provisions governing the single market and customs unions with an agreement to hash out future economic partnership. Yeah, I bet. And replace most provisions governing the single market and customs union. So this future economic partnership, essentially an open-ended agreement to continue negotiations that leave open the possibility of reaching a free trade deal like the ones enjoyed by Canada, a provision that is bound to appease at least some of the Brexiteers. Some. It's not. The word on the street in Westminster as part of the plan could have been written by Jacob Rees-Mogg, the leader of the hardline Euroskeptics, which, if true, could signify a major victory for May. Well, rule number one, never trust a politician. Rule number two, never trust a politician. Well, 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 well. Anybody have anything on the elections here? Any big upsets going on? Don't have time to scan and pan here on the internet. Very slow news day, isn't it? Just seemed like everything has stopped. The silence you hear is not the fault of your receiver. By the way, isn't it fascinating that George Bush had remained silent during the whole 8 years of Obama and his administration? 8 years. And when he was asked about that, his response was, well, it's not really good for past presidents to be talking about current administrations. It erodes the presidency. Well, he's come out and banged Trump, and I'm sorry, didn't Trump get the presidency? And George Bush has been seen numerous times palling around with Michael, or is that Michelle Obama, and Obama himself, along with the Clintons, as well. Buddy buddies. Just good buds and pals. Well, Tucker Carlson, we've had Obama out there. He should be really diving down the rabbit hole, but he's not. This is a short clip from Tucker Carlson talking about Obama in South Africa praising the white genocide leaders. You know, the people that are killing off the whites down there.
At about the same time President Trump was at his summit in Helsinki, former President Barack Obama was in South Africa delivering a speech that didn't get too much attention, though it should have. Obama began his remarks by thanking South African President Cyril Ramaphosa for, quote, inspiring new hope in this great country. Now, if you've been following what's going on in South Africa, you might be shocked by that, because it turns out Ramaphosa recently declared that he will change the South African constitution, and he'll do it for the explicit purpose of persecuting a racial minority, seizing their land without compensation, not because they've committed a specific crime, but because they are the wrong color, purely on racial grounds. Thanks to policies like this, many South Africans have already been murdered in race killings. Many and many more are fleeing the country for their lives. It's not covered here, but it's covered in the rest of the world, and it's real. Obama knew all this. He described it as, quote, inspiring. And that should tell you a lot. He should be asked why he described it as inspiring. He never will be, unfortunately. Well, that's about it for us tonight. Our weekly news quiz final exam was preempted for the president tonight.
Nothing to see here. Just let's just all move along. You know, there's been some contention out there that, Facebook is going to ultimately hurt itself by deplatforming so many people. Well, has anybody noticed on that platform called YouTube? Have you noticed how many ads are now running on every video that's on that site? And half of them are the ones that you can't skip the ad in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 second. No. you've got to watch a 20 or 30 second ad. There's no way around it. So they're monetizing the hell out of YouTube while throwing people off that were doing what I would consider mediocre conservative stuff. And I mean, not even hard edge stuff, that were deplatformed. And they were using YouTube as a way to monetize their own operations. Well, that's gone. And once they cleaned house of everything to the right, well, now they're going full tilt boogie on monetizing, and this is YouTube doing this, and they've gone full tilt boogie on monetizing all the videos on YouTube. Now, you would think, what about revenue sharing on something like this? And they should give you an option to opt out after a couple of seconds for an ad that you don't want to see. Now, it used to be that ads would run before or after. Now it's throughout the entire body. And if you take your little mousey and you take that little arrow and you try to skip that break, no matter where you put the play pointer at on the little play bar at the bottom, it's going to run that ad for you whether you like it or not. Now, you would think that what's the purpose of placing ads on YouTube videos? Well, it's for revenue, right? Okay, so you know what? Why can't I get paid? If you're going to run a 30-second ad and give me the ability to opt out of it, if I opt out of the 30-second ad, man, I don't get any revenue sharing. But if I sit there and put up with 30 seconds, maybe I pet the dog or pick my nose or whatever the case may be. But as long as that is, as long as that's doing it through your own email address or whatever the case may be, your URL, whatever, that if you put up with that 30-second ad, you should be able to claim half the revenue off of that. Don't you think that would be fair? Well, revenue sharing, is that bad for anybody? Just a thought. You know, they're going to have to do something here, folks, about the Middle East. Because there's two countries that were on that list of seven that they have not been able to conquer, displace the government, do coalition building and government smashing, like we've seen over and over again in the Middle East. They're in a quandary. What will they do? What will they do next? (laughs) 800-313-9443. We'll take some phone calls. By the way, I actually got that from Laura Ingram. And I watched a video on George Bush and him saying that, hey, you know, I didn't think it would be good for an ex-president to talk about a seated president. But he's out there yapping his jaws. And doesn't this just demonstrate who his good buds and pals really were? That George Bush was some kind of conservative? Huh. Has he moved to where did they buy a bunch of land at? Was it Paraguay or Venezuela or one of those countries? Paraguay or Uruguay. They haven't moved yet? What are they going to do when the Second American Revolution comes? Paraguay, yeah. What are they going to do? Stick around? I think not. Because just as the politicos out there missed the elections in 2016, I think they might pick the wrong side that's going to win. And by the way, in case we haven't noticed, the revolution has been started already in this country. But it didn't come from the right. It came from the left. And what I found fascinating, what did we, 8-9 years into the Common Core thing, the dumbing down of the American students and not really covering any American history. What you're seeing now in this country is reflected in the young adults meandering out in the streets now that have absolutely no idea of our country's history or how valuable freedom and liberty really is. They're in the cyber cloud. They don't care. Everything's okay. They're not going to be there to protect freedom and liberty for their children because they're not even protecting them for themselves or the rest of us for that matter. All right. Hang on, Mark. I've got to take this break. We'll be back in about 3 minutes and I will take your call.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five. Well, the magic's from Mark in Western New York. Hello, Mark.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Last night, about 23 hours ago, you were talking about your own personal safety and being judged by 12 and rather than be carried by 6, and made me realize that was 17 years ago that they shot Bill Cooper.
Uh-huh.
It was between 11:30 and 12 midnight, Arizona time on the 5th. I don't know. I think somebody marked it as the 6th of November that he died, but after taking 9 slugs, my guess is he expired rapidly on the 5th. But, no, he was the expert on the Illuminati, the Freemasonry, and other secret societies, aliens in the New World Order, true Bible-believing Christian, who claimed Jesus Christ was his true Lord and Savior, former Navy intelligence in Vietnam, called the most dangerous radio host by Bill Clinton.
Yeah, that was that long ago, huh? Seems like it was just
17 years.
Seems like it was just yesterday, Mark. All right, I appreciate your call. Let me squeeze one more in here before the top of the hour break. Art, off the grid. Hello, Art.
Hey, John. You know, sitting here watching these election polls going on, started out watching 7 feeds. I finally broke it down to 2. But it's interesting to me how you have a state where you have both Senate and House races going on, along with governor races. You watch as the Senate goes blue, the House goes red, or vice versa, and the governors keep bouncing back and forth. Now, how in the devil does this work?
It's the magic of television, my friend. Evidently, you're not up to snuff in the 21st century.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out who goes to the poll and bouts and votes Democrat for House and Republican for Senate. Really, I mean, and then they can't make up their mind who to vote for as governor. I will say, fortunately, thank heaven, here in Georgia, Stacey Abrams is getting the snot kicked out of her.
Good.
I'm loving it.
Yeah. Well, and again, this is more about not making any real change. Okay, so what? We get the House and we get the Senate. Yeah, whoopee, but what does that leave us with? Just the redcoats that don't understand the Constitution.
Yeah, right. Well, I think for Stacey Abrams, I think what she wasn't thinking about is Georgia is a big farming state. And you can't start making statements like you shouldn't have to resort to agriculture to make a living in Georgia. That's pretty stupid. You shouldn't be saying things about how you're in favor of gun confiscation if you're in a state like Georgia. It just doesn't work.
You know,
this is the socialist ideology here. They can't seem to figure out you're in the wrong state for this. Go to Vermont, where Bernie Sanders won hands down.
Well, that was like Hillary Clinton in 2016, and her big deal about clean energy, and there's going to be a lot of miners out of work.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And if they wouldn't have been doing this Trump Russiagate stuff, I think the Democrats would have been further ahead. They wasted a lot of time and resource on trying to pin something on Trump that he was not guilty of. Hey, Art, top of the hour break. I appreciate your call. Take care. All right, folks. Second hour. I wonder if they'll notice.
We must take America back. We must take America back.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.